Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne in his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at the right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So every night we have Vespers at Camp Joy, which is a church service. We sing fun songs, worship songs. Each group or site, what they do is they come up and they give a site report. So our group, we had 25 people with us this year. I think it was the biggest that I've ever been a part of. And we had 25 with us. We had three sites to begin with. We ended with, I believe, seven altogether. And so what we do is, and each church is different. Some have only one site that they go to. Some go to several like we did. So what we do at night is we go up on a stage and we say, "Hello, my name is Candy.
Hi, Candy.
I'm from Hollywood. And today we are at Miss Jones' house, and today we dug holes so that we could put up poles for a ramp that we are putting in this week. And it was really hard work. But Miss Jones is really, really nice, and she has cancer, and we know that this is going to be hard for her to go up and down her stairs, so we're happy to be able to build this ramp. And as the week goes on, that same group will tell you how they're doing, how they're progressing with their job site, and maybe even tell you a little bit about Miss Jones as well. So this is what we're going to do right now. We are going to give site reports. And our first site report is from Beth Larry and Grace's group. If you can come on up, please.
Hi, I'm Will.
Hi, Will.
I'm from Hollywood. So this was the first site we did. This was Miss Susan's house. So basically on the left there, you can see that was the before picture. And basically, you can't see in the picture, but to the right, there's a huge hill running all the way down right up to her house. So every time it would rain, all the water would run right up to her house and end up flooding her basement. And it was causing a lot of issues. So what we ended up doing was for that back porch, which is just a cement porch, we ended up using 2x8s to make kind of like a floating deck to raise it up about 8 inches, and then we put decking boards on top. So we just raised up her back deck for her and then put in a stair on each side. And then behind the porch, we dug a little trench that we ended up digging out to the driveway for drainage so that all that water running down the hill wouldn't run into her basement. Instead, it would go to her driveway and disperse. And then these are just pictures of our progress, us putting the deck in, cutting boards, stuff like that.
So then we had a second site because we finished this one on the second day. Oh, I'm Garrett.
Hi, Garrett.
I'm from Hollywood.
Woo!
So we finished the first site in 2 days, and then we moved to Louie and Dolores' house to build them a railing because Louie has fallen down the stairs a few times. Dolores wasn't very happy because she said that everything being pretty was better than her husband being healthy, pretty much. Safe, yeah. But then she was happy at the end once the railing was built and she saw that he could use it. That took 2 days. That's what we did there.
And then on Friday we went... Oh, I'm Grace.
Hi, Grace.
And I'm from Hollywood. So on the third day, on Friday, we went to another site in the middle of the woods. I don't have any pictures because I was a slacker and I only took one picture. And it's not up there. It was of Garrett cleaning the gutters. So we did gutters. She lives in the middle of the woods and she wanted us to pick up the sticks and throw them in the woods. So we had to go through and pick up the sticks out of her yard. We cut down a tree. We cleaned windows. Larry fixed her toilet, and so we were just doing a bunch of, like, odd jobs, and that was it. Oh, and we had Ian on our team. This was his first year going, and then we also had Kira and Caitlin, and none of them are here today. Thank you.
Next group is Greg and Scott's group, which I think they have everybody here. Jeffrey's in the back. He's part of that group as well, though.
So, hi, I'm Alex.
Hi, Alex.
So we worked on Mr. Yonker's house. He needed a 43-foot ramp. And he just got his, right before we got there, he was getting his toes amputated. So we were finishing that so he could easily get in his house.
And on Thursday, I'm Amelia.
Hi, Amelia.
On Thursday, our group had to split in half. And half of us went to Paw Paw, and the other half stayed and just put up a lot of spindles, finishing the ramp and everything.
And then on Friday, Joni. I'm Joni.
Hi, Joni.
I'm from Hollywood.
Woo!
And on Friday, we finished filling in the hole we dug for the end of the ramp, and then we smoothed out the ground.
Hi, I'm Alden.
Hi, Alden.
And I'm from Hollywood.
Woo!
So on Thursday and Friday, we went to Mrs. Evans' house and built her a ramp.
Hi, I'm Georgie.
Hi, Georgie.
Didn't take a lot of time, but it was kind of stressful because we only had 2 days to build the ramp. So there was only three of us. Thank you. So there was only four of us. So we were all, like, working together to try and get it done in the time we had, and we thought we weren't going to finish, but we had a little help from Sam, and we were able to get it finished.
So Mr. Yonker's the first site we went to.
Oh, I always forget that.
Hi, I'm Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And I'm from Hollywood. So to give you a little background, Mr. Yonker's, the first site we went to, he had his toes removed from diabetes, complications of, like the day before we got there. So we were on a mission to get it done before he came home. The first information we got from his son, Frank Yonkers, was that he'd be home in two days. So we were hustling to get the ramp accessible, maybe not railings, but accessible so the gentleman can get it back in his house. You can see on the picture on the left, it was like 7 or 8 stairs, and he wasn't very mobile to begin with. So we really needed the ramp for him, and removing the toes was making it worse for him. As it turns out, later in the week, he was going to rehab, so we had a little more time, and that's why they were able to go back and get it absolutely finished on Thursday and Friday before Mr. Yonkers came home. Unfortunately, we didn't get to meet him, but we got to meet his son. And he's hopeful that removing the toes is the end of his journey, and then he'll be able to go on without that. But it sounds like there's questions on whether he gets to keep his foot. So the ramp is definitely direly needed there. And for Mrs. Evans, that project was done kind of in advance of her need. She's got back problems, chronic back troubles. You know, as you can imagine, feet hurt, back hurt, everything hurts. She had a pacemaker put in like 3 weeks ago, I believe, just so she could survive her back surgery. So she was able to move around, but hurting. So the ramp we put in was to make sure that in 3 months after she's recovered from her pacemaker that she can get her back surgery done and she can either walk or use the ramp for a wheelchair as needed. She's very hopeful that it'll just be walker, but this was definitely satisfying her need, and she was so grateful. They're both grateful. The son, Mr. Yonker's son, was so grateful that we were there. You could tell that they really needed this stuff. It was so good to do this for them. The neighbors were appreciative. When we talked to Mrs. Evans' neighbors, one of them gave us power because we needed electricity to do the job. But they were so thankful that we were there doing the job for them.
Next up is Derek, Christine, and my team.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben.
I'm from Hollywood. Woo! So we all worked on Mr. Tracy's house and Mrs. Swain's house. So for Mr. Tracy's house, we did, on the first picture, we were replacing shingles on his roof, or the roof for his porch. And then those white boards at the front, we replaced those too because they were starting to like sag down a little bit. And then on the front of the house, me and Mason put in a drip edge to keep the rain from getting to the wood and like rot away. And we also put a gutter and a downspout on the porch roof too.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, Olivia.
I'm from Hollywood, obviously. The roof was rotted, so we like fixed it up.
Hi, I'm Mason.
Hi, Mason.
I go to Hollywood.
Woo!
We also, on the porch roof, we replaced a post because we found out the hard way that one of the posts was rotted out. So we replaced that. And the post just all of a sudden decided it wanted to move out from underneath the roof, so that was really fun. So we replaced that post.
Hi, I'm Brendan.
Hi, Brendan.
And I'm from Hollywood.
Woo!
So, we went to Mrs. Swain's house, and on the bottom left-hand corner, well, there's just a bunch of stuff that we had to do. It's a bunch of tiny things for maintenance for her house. And so on the bottom left, we had to remove that barrel, dig out all the dirt and all that. Then the top left, we had to pull out a bunch of weeds and vines from her garden and trim some bushes in her garden. And then on the top right, we had to scrub the lattice to clean it. And then on the bottom right, and we also replaced the bottom boards of the lattice because they were rotted. And then on the bottom right, we had to put in a new soffit. And and then finally we had to, on the bottom left, we had to, nope, before, next.
Next.
Yeah. On the bottom left, we had to put in a new board at the bottom of there, and we also had to paint that wall because it was molding and we had to paint over it. Oh, and Mason also cleaned a gutter, but he didn't clean himself, so I guess you could say that.
Miss Swaim is 86 years old. They're not a very good selfie picture. I really am sad about that. But Miss Swaim is 86 years old. And Grace and I, we were at her house like 5 years ago doing a lot of painting there. Sweet, sweet lady. But that house has been around since the early 1900s. It was her husband's grandparents' house, and then they inherited it from them. And so she has Camp Joy do maintenance on it because she can't do maintenance on it herself. So, yeah, so it was a great, great week. Thank you.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting it to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teachings. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Another thing that we do at Vespers is Pastor Mike encourages us at the very beginning of the week to look for God in everything that we're doing that week. And so he likes for us to share God sightings. And God sightings can be very simple, or they can be really deep. And it's just all in how you see it and what you see a God sighting as. So I know we do this in VBS too. So, you know, it's great that we start this really young. And so our kids, by the time they get to youth group, they already know what a God sighting is. So I've encouraged my youth group to really think about what their God sightings were this past week. I'll start because nobody ever wants to start, so I'll start. My God sighting were my kids. And when I say my kids, I don't mean just Jeffrey and Brendan. I mean all my youth group kids. We had a break for lunch, and I had time to look on Facebook. I had a fifth grade teacher who I keep in touch with on Facebook, and she's a beautiful writer. So I feel like I know what she does every day. She takes care of her mother. That's her big thing that she does. And her mother, 96 years old, and, you know, it's many doctor's appointments, lots of stuff going on. So I feel like I know her mother after several years. And her mother passed away while we were there. And I started crying. And the kids were like, "What's going on, Miss Candy?" And I said, and I told them what happened. And I read them what Miss Brady had written. And it was, because it was beautiful. It was just absolutely wonderful what she wrote about her mother. And they were just so consoling and just really, really sweet. I didn't know the lady. I didn't know Niney. I had no idea. But I felt like I did, but the kids consoling me And my team consoling me was really sweet. So that was one of my God sightings. So who wants to go next with a God sighting?
I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben.
So my God sighting was that I was really happy to be able to come to Camp Joy and help with the homeowners, because I love meeting the homeowners every year because they're all, like, super nice. Like, Mrs. Swain, she's just a really sweet lady, and she gave us ice cream and stuff, and it was really nice, like, talking to her and getting to know her, and, yeah.
Hi, I'm Amelia.
Hi, Amelia.
And we worked on Mr. Yonker's site, who was getting his toes amputated. And his son would come by every day and, like, unlock the house for us and talk to us and everything. Even though he had, like, cancer and his own issues, like back issues and feet problems, like, he was standing there talking to us and was like, it hurts just to, like, move every day, but he was, like, still able, like, he was still, like, fighting through it to, like, stand there and talk to us. And I just thought that was really cool.
Hi, I'm Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. I'm from Hollywood. And, yeah, Candy kind of hit on my God sighting, too. You know, this was my fifth year at Camp Joy. And I can tell you, just seeing the adults and the youth, not just from Hollywood, but this year we had Hiss, Lithicum Heights, and one other thing.
St. Matt's and Glen Burnie.
Yes. So all these churches and all these people getting together, you know, for this common goal, and it's just really, really incredible. You know, I think about, you know, back when I was a youth, you know, after summer's over, we talk about, oh, what'd you do this summer? Oh, I went to King's Dominion. I went to the beach. You know, we went on vacation and all this. This year, all these folks that attended Camp Joy, they can say they made a difference in someone's life. I mean, yeah, it's obvious. You can see the difference we've made for the homeowners, you know, with the ramps and, you know, the railings and just cleaning up things, cleaning out gutters and all this. Those are the differences you can see. But I can tell you, in the past 5 years that I've gone, one of the biggest differences I've seen is the difference that everyone that has gone to Camp Joy has made in me. And I thank you for that. And I'm so happy you all let me come with you every year. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
I'm Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Some of you know me, some of you don't. We're from across the water, but we've been hanging in here since Sheldon threw down a challenge to us 10 years ago. We were at a Gideon's banquet, and we were talking about missions. We had just come back from the flooding in Iowa. And he threw down the challenge of Camp Joy, and we said yes. And so for 10 years we've been going, and every year our anniversary falls during that week. So for 10 years we've celebrated our anniversary there. Well, this year was really special because this was our 50th, and we asked Pastor Mike if he would renew our vows. So at the big bonfire, which is our final thing, on Friday night, Pastor Mike renewed our vows with us before communion. And all I can say is the Lord God was there. The whole place. Later on, you'll see all of us standing in a semicircle after communion, our arms wrapped around each other, singing. I mean, it's just amazing. The feeling, and it's not just emotions, it is God is there in the middle of everything that goes on.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Will.
Hi, Will.
I'm from Hollywood. And so my God sighting this year was that this year my Camp Joy experience was a little bit different. So this was my fourth year going, and in the past 3 years, each week had been pretty similar, where I would get assigned, or our team would get assigned to one job site where we had a big project the whole week, so maybe that was building a ramp or fixing a roof or something that took most of the week. But this year was a little bit different because our team had three different job sites. Now, we're all smaller jobs. But I'm kind of glad that we did have that this year because it really opened my eyes, because in past years it was doing these big jobs, and you can really see, like, wow, these people really needed this ramp. You're really making a big difference. Or they really needed their roof fixed. You're making a huge difference. But this year it was smaller jobs, but it just went to show that no matter how big or small the job was, you're making a huge difference in these people. So it was just humbling to see the people's reactions at the end of the week, no matter whether you're building a ramp for somebody who needs to get into their house or just picking up sticks in their yard. They're so grateful, and it makes such a difference for them.
Hi, I'm Alex. This was my fifth year at Camp Joy, and a lot of you don't know me because I don't attend this church. I live in Rockville, Maryland, and ever since my first year when I came up here with my grandparents, Beth and Larry, I've enjoyed it and wanted to come back mainly for these people because I only get to see them once a year, and it's just the most enjoyable experience.
Hi, I'm Brendan.
Hi, Brendan.
I'm from Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right. So when we were at Mr. Tracy's house, I think it was the first or second day, one or the other. We were packing up for the rest of to end the day off, and as we were packing up, I was walking to the car to put my stuff in there, and I felt something grinding on the asphalt. So I was like, "Oh, it's probably just a rock." So I quickly lift up my foot. I see something there. I can't really tell. So I sat down, looked at it again. Turns out it was a nail that was through my shoe. Luckily enough, it didn't actually puncture my foot or get through the bottom of my foot. So I was happy that that happened. And I felt that there was something there that actually really got it to not stick through my foot. I mean, that's one less injury than the amount that I could have had, or that I did have. Yeah, it did. But that was my God sighting of the week.
Hi, I'm Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And I'm from Hollywood.
Yeah.
I could probably talk up here for half an hour or more, so I'm going to try to keep this as short as I can. But the number of things that we could talk about are just endless. The first thing I want to talk about is actually what that picture is. That's from Mrs. Evans' site. We were working away, I think this was the first day or second day, I don't remember. First day? Second day? I'm getting two reports, so it was one of the days. It was Thursday or Friday. But anyway, it was one of the days that we were a little short by the end of the week on things for ourselves to keep us going through the week. We were working away, and a gentleman stops by in the street in his truck, kind of flags me down, asks for a business card so we could go build a porch for him. Go over and talk to him, explain to him with Camp Joy, and he's like, he was so grateful that we were with Camp Joy doing the stuff basically for free for somebody in need. And he knows the lady that we were doing the work for, Mrs. Evans. So he asked us if we needed anything. It turns out we were short Gatorade. So he went to the store and brought us back Gatorade and later in the day. So that's what the Gatorade is about. And that just was continued with anybody else I talked to through the week outside of Camp Joy. Even the people that we got dinner from, the churches in the area made dinner for us, provided us dinner. We're all very grateful that they provided us dinner, thanked them for that, you know, endlessly. But every time we did that, they turned it back on us, saying that, you know, they were grateful that we were there taking time out of our week, out of our daily life to come do things in their neck of the woods and their community. So just the amount of grateful responses and grateful people out there that were showing that we're having an impact on everybody was just overwhelming. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is just the youth. There's a couple of things that stand out. The first day we were there, put up tents. The weather was not going so great. We had 8 tents, as I recall. We had 3 dry tents that first night because it rained like mad. The youth made very little contact with the leaders to get help. They all took care of their wet tents on their own. Anything from basically helping out their buddy, trying to get them a dry place to stay in their own tent, putting a poncho on them, chair, propping them up off the ground. One of the tents used the dividers from the large tents to actually just kind of wick the water away from where they needed to sleep. Basically made pieces to stop the water. But anyway, the maturity that they showed to get through the adversity out of their element, they just took care of it. The girls moved from one tent to another to take care of that. And then when it comes to the job sites, we had to get things done. So all these kids buckled down. They took direction. They took initiative to get their assignments done. They asked questions when they needed to. They learned through the week. They did the jobs. They managed materials. They managed organization. They managed the whole thing. Just the level of learning and maturity they did to get the jobs done was just overwhelming as well. So anyway, I'll stop talking now.
Thank you, everybody.